Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, we're back Thursday night, 8 p.m. East Coast time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And this is the FSP Crew Show. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to all my co-hosts, meaning Jeff the Joker, Black the Bookie, or me. We got a great show in store for you tonight. Let's see if my co-hosts are going to produce the subjects, the topics, so we can speak on them. But without further ado, since you know who I am, let's bring in my esteemed co-host right now, my fellow Jersey guy, like I always say. Welcome, Jeff. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry. How you doing?
All right. And from the DMV area, long time not talked to, but he is on the air right now with me, calling in on, I have to say this because Victor is going to kill me if I don't, the FantasySportsCasino.com hotline, where winners win and players play. I'm talking to about his cousin, Mikal. What's up, my man?
What's up, man? I thought it was the Fantasy Book Sports and Betting.com.
FantasySportsBookCasino.com.
Oh, I thought it was and betting, and booking and betting. Okay,
no.
Anyway.
Well, it's the website is FantasySportsCasino.com.
Oh, okay.
Where winners win and players play or vice versa. You know what I'm saying. Anyway.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Mikal, how you been?
Great.
All right. We got a great show in store for you tonight, people. There's a lot of things going on, and I'm going to ask Jeff, what are we going to talk about first, Jeff? What would you like to talk about first?
There's a lot of things. I think the big news this morning, everyone was talking about that a court in Chicago said that the Northwestern University football players can unionize. But the police blotter is full. Ray Rice got indicted, and that's unfortunate. You know, I mean, I admit it, I'm biased. I like Ray Rice. He's from the New York area. I don't think he's ever had any problems off the field. You know, he comes back home to New Rochelle every off season, and you know, works out with the high school players at his old school. He's still very close with his coach over there. And, you know, it's a shame that he's in this kind of trouble. But if, you know, I guess the court's got to figure it out. And I don't think we spoke about this, that because there's been a lot of stuff going on. When Robert Irsay got busted for DWI a couple weeks ago, he had $29,000 on him. I mean, even for a rich guy, that's a lot of cash. I just think he's got a history of, besides alcohol abuse, pill abuse, and he was probably looking to buy some whatever he's into, Vicodin, oxycodone, and they don't take MasterCard for that.
No, it sounded like he wanted to buy some for on street terms some weight. And he had, and supposedly he had it separated out. A couple of them were in, a lot of it was in canvas bags. Some of it was in a briefcase. I think some of it was actually in his pocket. So who the hell knows what was? Yeah, man. Who the hell knows what's going on with him and what he would happen to be up to or was going to be up to? I don't know, Macau, if you heard that or not, but talk to me.
Yeah, I heard it. I mean, I heard it, but you, man, you never know with these people. You really don't know, man. I would like to sit here, you know, and be the, you know, and be the unassuming public and just go ahead and say, yeah, he was just getting it, you know, because he wanted to use it. But, I mean, having it all separated out like that in bags and in a little briefcase, it just make you think, Slim. It just make you think. Just make you think a little bit. Just a little bit. But, yeah, man, that's crazy. That's crazy.
And the thing about it, the owner, I'm waiting to see how this is going to play out. He quickly got into rehab, so I'm waiting to see how this is going to play out with Goodell and what he's actually going to do about him. Because it's obvious he was caught dead to rights. It's just a matter of time when whatever type of punishment he's going to get. He's probably going to plead guilty because according to what I read, he was totally incoherent, driving 10 miles an hour in the 35-mile zone, stopping at times. said he was trying to find his house, but he had gotten confused on which road it was located. I'm reading all this. I mean, like, you know, he couldn't even recite the letter Z. He got out of the vehicle and he had trouble standing and they had to cut the sobriety, the dexterity testing because he couldn't put heel to toe for one. And he was had trouble standing up. I mean, they cut the test short, meaning he was so out of it, there was no need of going through anything else. They knew what the deal was. and supposedly, it had nothing to do with alcohol. So whatever was going on, it was strictly drug induced. So,
That's
a DWI, absolutely. Driving while intoxicated, that's right. Or whatever. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And he was charged with DWI and four counts of possession of a controlled substance. So, yeah, so. Let me put it this way. I'm looking at an article here. He had $14,500 in a metal briefcase, $2,500 in his wallet, and $12,000 in a laundry bag on the passenger side floorboard. And also pills in the briefcase and in two laundry bags.
Slam.
Man, wow.
No bull. If I or Jerry got pulled over with that, they'd hit us with the kingpin joint.
There's no doubt about it. He got charged with what do they call it? Intent to distribute.
Look at us, man. Hey, yeah. It's on the book at us.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So right. Well, wait. Like, I have to wait and see what happens. And you know, the players of that organization and the players across the league are going to say, okay, what are you going to do about him? Because some of us have gotten busted, but not even close to what he's gotten busted with. So,
and you know what, too, Jerry? I'm really surprised that a lot of these talk show hosts and columnists and op-ed writers, they going real nice with him. They going real easy on him. I ain't hearing nobody ain't heard nobody come out and blast them like they be blasting a football player on some nonsense, or a basketball player on some nonsense. I mean, I'm just putting it out there.
I understand what you're saying. Well, let me put it this way. You know, the man, obviously, because this is not the first time to this rodeo that he's been in trouble or had problems with some type of either prescription drugs or alcohol. So at this time, it doesn't look like it's been alcohol. It's prescription drugs. So
we have to wait and see
how this is going to play out, because this is what he got caught with is, in my opinion, no joke. No joke.
Well, you can tell they already working on him. If he done checked in rehab, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the first thing you're supposed to do, you know. So, because what's his name did that? Oscar De La Hoya did that when they caught him. But they didn't catch him real bad, but he just went in and checked himself in the rehab. Because it was reports that he was walking around, you know what I'm saying, all high up and whatnot. When that stuff started floating around, when he checked his rehab.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot of the NFL owners got a lot of stuff going on, man.
Well, I mean, besides that, we lost two NFL owners within the last month. So the latest being Ralph Wilson, one of the founding.
Who was before Ralph?
Before Ralph was, wasn't that the Tennessee? Was that Tennessee?
Yeah, the Tennessee Titans owner. Yeah.
He passed away. So, but Ralph Wilson was one of the founding fathers of the AFL. This guy was 90 something years old, and one of the pioneers of football, basically one of the pioneers of the modern football, because without him and the other owners that were a part of the AFL, and then eventually they became the NFL when they merged with the NFL, and the AFL merged with the NFL and became the quite naturally the NFL and then AFC and NFC Conference. Things really got popular after they merged. I mean, not as much as it's taken off since the last two commissioners. Or since Pete Rozelle, so it's been really a shame that all this time that these owners are eventually, because the Father Time waits for no one, are going to be passing by an era in football is going to not era, but you know the type of guys these people were are going to change, because the mindset is a lot different from what it was back in the day when these guys first envisioned what they wanted to do to bring more football to more people to now.
Right.
And it's more of a, in my opinion, it's more of a corporate thing, and the type of owner Ralph Wilson is, and the type of mindset he has of being closer to the fans, these organizations being closer to the fans than they are progressively not being now, because they're being more commercialized. It's going to be it is a thing of the past. I should say that. It's going to be a thing of the past. It is a thing of the past. And as a thing of the past, these owners are going to be a thing of the past too, because they're eventually going to pass away, and a new generation of owners are going to push it to maybe sometimes good, sometimes bad. Jeff, what's your opinion on Mr. Ralph Wilson of the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you. I have to give him credit because he did a lot for the old AFL. I mean, besides just owning the Bills, because you know, it was pretty shaky in the early years, and he lent money to other owners to help them out.
Yep.
And you know, and I think the NFL ownership is somewhat of a fraternity, so I guess he was one of the longtime members of that fraternity. And a lot of these guys do business together and whatever. But, you know, it's always been a business. And, you know, he wasn't as colorful as a lot of the other owners. Because there was, I remember I heard a story in the early days of the AFL, two of the owners, one, I think it was Lamar Hunt and Bud Adams, they were I think they wanted to have a game with no fans, just the two of them in the stands. Then they realized that wasn't very practical and they wouldn't look good. But and those early AFL owners, some were wealthier than others. I mean, the Jets were originally owned by a sports writer, you know, and he started running that team out of his bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, like Lamar Hunt, was a very, very wealthy man. But the you know, the NFL was very small back then. I think it was maybe 12 teams, and they were going to expand gradually. And, you know, these guys couldn't wait. So, boom, you know, the AFL was created. And then, you know, 10 years later, it got absorbed into the NFL. You know, they agreed to it a couple years before. And, boom, all of a sudden, you know, the NFL had viable franchises in 10 cities. That's even better than expansion. And the thing is with the Bills, you know, all those years, you know, they are probably best known for the four consecutive Super Bowls, which unfortunately they lost. But it goes to show you in football, you know, small market teams like Buffalo can compete with the big market teams. I'm curious because I hate to talk about this maybe, you know, shortly after a man passed away. Because of the estate laws, his heirs, they might have to sell the team. And then that leads to speculation, are they going to move to Toronto or London or L.A.? Because, you know, football's been in Buffalo a long time, but that is one
sure.
of the smaller markets. And, you know, sooner or later, you know, somebody in the NFL is going to move to L.A. I don't want to see anybody leave, but, you know, it's just that's business. You know, I'd like to see maybe somebody like Jacksonville move to L.A. Because if they expanded, 33 teams would be a problem. You know,
mm-hmm.
even 34, then it's asymmetrical. You don't have the same number of teams in every division. It's perfect now. There's four teams in every division. It's perfect. And 33 or 34 teams I don't want to see. And these other sports... The other major league sports look like they've overexpanded, and I don't want that to ever happen to the NFL.
Yep. All right, speaking of the Buffalo Bills, on another somber note, Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback, he had was diagnosed with cancer last June, had
no.
surgery, supposed to be cancer-free. Well, the... cancer is back and aggressive and starting to spread. Was supposed to have surgery. Found out today, because I'm looking at this article, that the cancer is an area that surgery cannot successfully eradicate. So at this point, he will not be having surgery. The medical specialist in New York City, along with a Buffalo team, believe that chemotherapy and radiation are the best option. So that's the course of action they're going to take now, is that do the chemotherapy and radiation and hope for the best, I guess, basically. That came out from a tweet or a Facebook from his wife, Jill Kelly. So that's the that's what's going on now. You guys know about that, or is that just breaking news for you?
I didn't know about that. Yo, I got a special spot in my heart for Jim Kelly, man. I really like that dude. I mean, I've always liked him as a quarterback, but I found out that he and I share the same birthday. You know, I just, you know, started paying more attention to him. I mm-hmm. really like him. I really, really like him. I really like him. It's just sad to hear that. It's really sad to hear that.
Yep. Yeah, even though he was in the AFC East, and when I was a Jet fan, I didn't really like at the day when they were at their height, when the Buffalo Bills were the strongest team in that division. I always liked Jim Kelly because he seemed like he was a straight-up guy and a real nice guy. It wasn't like what you saw on camera was exactly the opposite of what you didn't see off camera. Seemed like he was
right.
just a generally good guy. That just played well, and kept everything in perspective. And it is a shame to see somebody like that that has to go through what they're going through now. And this is right now; it's going on close to a year, and it's going to be a little longer than that. Jeff, you got anything to say?
You know, I saw that, and it bummed me out a little bit. And I'm curious. Does that have anything to do with tobacco? Did he chew?
He used to chew. Yes, he did. Used to chew tobacco. Absolutely.
Because, you know, like I said, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if that cancer. Because whenever you hear oral cancer, you kind of think frequently it has to do with tobacco products. And I'll tell you, the older I get, I'm very against tobacco, all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that chewing tobacco. I think it became more popular, but that stuff is like cancer in a can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I, no matter what it's from, I hope he's okay. And if it is from tobacco, maybe he could do a public service ad saying, "Hey, you know, stay away from this stuff because you know it gave me a lot of trouble."
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to this. You had brought it up. Jeff, right at the beginning of the program, and you said how much you like this guy, and this is the first trouble that seemed like, and what a heck of a way to pick your first time getting in trouble, is to be indicted by the grand jury on third-degree aggravated assault for allegedly striking his fiancée unconscious last month in Atlantic City. If he's convicted of a third-degree crime in New Jersey, it carries a potential prison sentence of at least 3 years and up to 5 years. And the fine is really inconsequential because it's a fine that could be up to $15,000. That, I mean, and I know Ray Rice wouldn't have any problem paying that, but paying the time, that would eventually, that would absolutely... destroy his career. I mean, let me put it that way. His career would be gone. He would have to spend any kind of substantial time in a prison in New Jersey, at least 3 years and up to five. So if he had just 3 years, he's 27 right now. That would make him about 30, give or take. And a 30-year-old not playing football for 3 years because he's being incarcerated, his career would be over. So this is some serious, serious stuff. You know who I want to bring up here? Because I'm talking about it, and I want his thoughts on it, because he's another guy that lives down in the DMV area. Fat Black, what's up, my man? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on?
Hey, Black.
What's up, Black?
What's up, fam? What's going on?
All right, Black. We're talking about Ray Rice. You know he got indicted today, which carries a sentence, like I said before, between 3 and 5 years. I'm not worried about the monetary fine. That's really not that much to him. The big thought is if he's going to have to spend some time, 3 to 5 years, which would potentially end his career. Your thoughts on Ray Rice and the possibility or what you think about his indictment today.
Right, I heard they went to counseling already, didn't they? Him and his wife.
That didn't stop the grand jury in New Jersey, though.
Oh man, yeah, that's a that's a raw deal. Then because I know she didn't want to press charges, so I was hoping they would have dropped it, but that's a raw deal. But he has money. Hopefully he can get out of that situation, but if he can't, that's a bad rap there, man. But that video is just too incriminating.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you're right. Macau, what do you think about this?
I don't see why he's still with her, man. I don't understand it.
Tough love, bro.
I don't understand that, Slim. That stuff is crazy. Look, I mean, we all know money is the root of all evil. And as a man, you know that your biggest weakness is going to be a woman. Because if it's not, you know what I mean? You're not a man. You're something else. You know what I mean? You know, you something else. You know, not the big God folks that go that way. So that's what it is for me. Right.
It's tough love, bro. I mean, look at my buddy. He got himself caught up in that situation last time. I don't mean to put him out there, but my man Ty Lawson from the Nuggets had a similar situation.
Yeah, I just don't understand these dudes, man. I mean, I still stand behind the thing, the position where, you know, I tell women this all the time. You know what I'm saying? Just because he not supposed to, and it's against the law, it don't mean that he won't knock you out. It don't mean that, right? Then on the other side, you know, dudes like it, you gotta know if you with the type of woman that's, that keep getting out of pocket like that to make you lose your emotions like that, you need to leave her alone, man. You need to leave her alone. Oh my God, I don't know, man. Maybe I was just raised by some different type men or something, man, because I can't be around them drama chicks, man. I can't. I mean, it's too toxic. And I know, you know, and I'm speaking very real here. I know, you know, some of them got that good boom-boom, but, man, you got to let it go. It will destroy you. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man,
All right, Macau, but speaking of being raised, I'm going to bring somebody in on the FantasySportsBookCasino.com hotline where winners win and players play. That happens to be raised within your family. Welcome, Victor. How you doing?
Really? Really? You know what? I'm going to do this. Hello, Black. Hello,
what's
Jeff.
What's going on?
Hey, Vic.
That dude named Jerry Taylor. That's how you're going to treat me. And hello, cuz. But it's all good. I see y'all treating me on my own show.
See that, Victor?
What
said welcome.
Do?
I'm not the one that booed you, but that's okay. You want to dog me out, that is fine with me.
I should put
you on mute like you do others, but I'm not going to do that because I'm not that type of guy.
I thought we had an agreement about being nice to each other. But anyway.
We did, but you just said that
what
I...
What did I say?
Well, you assumed that I booed you, so you decided to slightly give me a disparaging remark, but that's okay.
Anyway, I don't know the topic.
Is there a conscious uncoupling going on here?
I don't know what's going on.
Talk to me, Victor. What do you think about Ray Rice?
Okay, you're talking about Ray Rice.
And his indictment.
Two things. I don't know too much about the indictment. I guess it just came down or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But if he knocked that girl out, In the elevator. Now, again, this is speculative. I don't know what he said or what she said. You know, I'm a firm believer in if a young lady wants to get in a man's place and you have to, only have to, place your hands on him, you either restrain him or you give him a good choking, not knock him out. I think MJG said it best about some dudes. He said his DNA is mostly Eddie Kane and Ike Turner. That's where some of these dudes get their philosophy from. They look at these guys like Ike Turner and Eddie Kane like, hey, that's what's up. You know, beat a girl up, smack them around. I'm not saying that's what Ray Rice
Ike Turner, really?
I'm not saying that's what he did. However, you know, if she struck him or if she wanted to hit on him, if she wanted to get in that arena, knowing his size and his strength and stuff like that, yeah, maybe he stiff on her, keep her back or whatever the case may be, knock her out and then drag her off the elevator. Personally, I would have pressed the closed door button and rolled back up to the level I was on and put her on my shoulder and be like, ah, and smack on the butt or something, maybe like we did something. I don't know. But I really don't think it's a good thing ever when a man has to put his hands on a female. A female should know, whether she's bigger, younger, smaller, whatever, she should know, okay, if I strike this guy, I don't know what he's going to do in return.
So, Victor, you're living in a glass house if you think that, because there are a lot of females out there. There are a lot of females out there that know the law quite naturally.
You don't know what this dude gonna do in the heat of the moment. You just don't know. You know, and it's crazy to give like leeway to like women when they like if they snap, but if a dude snap, it's just like, oh my God, no, he wasn't supposed to do that. Oh no, you're not supposed to do that. But there's so many, there's such a boom in that type of thinking. And I talk to so many women, and it's like, well, and they come out with this, well, you know, he can't do that because it's against the law. And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's against the law, but that don't mean he won't. What are you thinking? What do you think? Well, if he do it, then they just going to do this. Nah, baby, nah, no. No, and then it's a lot of people just not taking ownership for their stuff, men and women, all the way across the board. You know what I'm saying? This dude, he really do need to go down for this. I am not justifying what he did, absolutely not. He need to, whatever time he get, he got to get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I respect the fact that, you know, they went to counseling and all like that, but Slim, you can't put the go hand on your woman like that. And then they got a video? Nah, Slim, you going down. And that's why I was like, look, man, why do they keep staying with these drama chicks, man? God, leave them alone. They will destroy you. If you're a football player listening, if you're a basketball player listening, if you're an aspiring boxer listen, if the chick bring drama, hit it and quit it. Leave it alone.
Don't.
And look, don't let it stay up in there. Take it out. Make sure you check that jump before you flush it down the daggone toilet, too, please.
Okay. All right.
Please. Because it is no joke out here no more, man. No joke, Vic.
Doggy dog. All right, let's move on to this because I want to talk about this also. Where am I at now?
Trading people that you know are hurt? Is that where you're going?
Excuse me?
Trading people that you know are hurt?
Let's talk about that a little later in the program if you want to bring that up. Anyway, one other thing I want to talk about, and you know, I like how these guys, and I'm glad, I am so glad that my man Macau is on here because the last time I think spoke on this program, you pumped this individual up very high, which is fine. And it's ironic and deja vu on the day that he has his pro day that some of the skeptics, including Ron Jaworski, are now banging the drum and singing the high praise of one Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M, saying that he blew it out of the water. He's gotten on every freaking program, NFL Network, ESPN, probably Fox 1. I didn't see him on that, but I saw him on the other two. And even Jaworski said that he's going to change his mind, even though he watched so much game tape. But this one time, he watched Johnny Manziel light it up and did a lot of things that supposedly wowed everybody at the pro day. And it's ironic that the Cleveland Browns had no representation there, and they're one of the top three or four picks in the draft, and they weren't present. That one Johnny Manziel is now shooting up back up the draft boards. And since I put that subject out there, and since the last time I think we talked with Mikal, he had sung the praise, I'm going to give him the opportunity to respond first before I go to the other guys. Talk to me, Mikal.
I mean, I really don't have that much to say because this really don't really show it. I mean, this is really more so what's expected. They gonna blow it up, you know, and it's a glorified turnaround day. They looked at him and stuff. You know, that stuff don't impress me. The things I saw him do in games was just phenomenal. You can't teach that stuff. You can't teach that stuff. To me, he looked like a little Brett Favre. Then he got the gusto like that, and you know he got the mind for it. I just think he's the best. I think he's the best in this class. You know, others will argue differently. I think the Texans will be making a big mistake if they pass this dude up. This dude, I really think that this dude is gonna come in to the league and he's gonna be a player for a good long time, real good long time.
Okay. I'm going to give the floor right now to Black. Talk to me, Black.
I was very surprised that Jaws all of a sudden has a bag of Manziel nuts in his jaws. All the dogging that he did. You know, I'm an SEC man at the heart, so I'm pulling for my man Manziel to do big things in the league. But I was just surprised at all the nut hugging that was going on today.
Yep.
I cannot wait for the draft. I cannot wait for this man to hit the field. He came out in pads. Who does that at that pro day? Came out in pads, came out in the helmet, had the good hip-hop music going. I'm telling you, Manziel is a game changer, my friend. We're going to see what he does.
Yeah.
We're going to see what he does.
All right, Jeff, talk to me.
Yeah, I got to admit it. You know, usually these, you know, pro days are just, you know, it's like a show. It's like a performance, but
exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? His mechanics look good. He looks sharp. Because once in a while you see a guy at the combine or the pro day, and you're like, he knew this was coming, didn't he? Get ready. But he showed that, you know, he's been working on his footwork, et cetera, et cetera, and he put on a nice show for former President Bush and his wife and the governor of Texas. I mean, that was some show. And I got to give Manziel credit. I've been critical of him at times, you know, maybe for his, you know, some of his off-the-field antics. But I saw him on ESPN with John Gruden, and he was, you know, a humble young man. Just everything was yes, sir, no, sir. You know, he wasn't messing around, you know.
Victor.
Well, there's a great love fest here. I think Mr. Manziel, I think he did the right thing. He saw how Bridgewater went outside of his norm and kind of messed up. Bridgewater blames not having a glove on for it. Blake Bortles, he was okay. Nothing spectacular. And Black brought up a very good point that he did this in pads. He showed his abilities in pads. Mike Evans, the rest of those guys, yeah, the receivers didn't wear pads and stuff, which is cool, but it wasn't really about them. It was about Johnny. And Johnny, he looked like a quarterback. And the GOAT, Jerry Rice, just said on NFL Network that if they move him out of the pocket and create little lanes for him, that he'll be very deadly. Now, I said this time and time again. This guy needs a big receiver to make him look good. He needs somebody that's going to go up and get the ball. And, I mean, maybe, maybe not. But he needs somebody that's going to go up and get the ball. There's no doubt he can make plays. The number one pick, I stick by my original statement, no. I don't think he is the number one pick. And I'm interested in hearing what you're going to say, Jerry, because you said none of these guys, none of them belong in the first two rounds. So I'm very interested in hearing what you have to say now that you've seen Mr. Manziel do what he did.
Well, this, let me put it this way. This was extremely smart and strategic thing to do. Normally, people, and you don't see it, normally, especially in the quarterback, that you don't see him in pads and a helmet throwing the football. So right away, when he comes out in that, and that's very strategic, he wears a helmet, pads, and a rib protector, okay? That's supposed to get your attention. Well, this guy is being unique, being different. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to equate to playing on Sunday. Now, he did a lot of things, and they were scripted, and a lot of them were scripted to fit his skill set, okay, with his receivers on his pro day. And he worked with this guy, this quarterback coach in California, for God knows how long, including before and after the combine, quite naturally. So just like Teddy Bridgewater was basically a dud, Johnny Manziel was the exact opposite. But on a lot of people's draft board, Teddy Bridgewater is still more pro-ready than Johnny Manziel. And I'm sticking to that. I don't think any of these guys, even though they may be taken, and more likely they will be taken because of quarterback needy teams, are going to they're worthy of a first-round pick. I'm going to stick by that, and we'll see what happens. I don't think they are. They're not even, in my opinion, Andrew Luck or RG3 type of quarterbacks. They're not that dynamic. They all have their own flaws, either not a strong enough arm, maybe not a pocket presence, or not being able to read defenses because they've always been in the shotgun. There's a big difference from what two or three years ago in the two quarterbacks that were chosen, one and two, than these guys. If they were in the same draft, which they're not, I understand that, they would be maybe second or third round picks with no problem. But because there's so many draft quarterbacks needed in these teams, these guys are the cream. I wouldn't say cream of the crop, but they're cream of the crop. I'll say that. And they're going to be going in the first round, but I still say they're not first round worthy, even though they're going to be drafted in the first round. So
we're going to mark your statements down on March 27th, 2014.
March 27th, when the season rolls
around, and if one of these guys catches fire, I do not want you to get Jaworski disease, my friend.
No, I'm absolutely not. Let me put it this way: every now and then a squirrel finds a nest. So if these guys have two or three games, that can happen. But I'm talking about
if they find three games, that'll be more than your Houston Texans.
Let me put it this way.
Ooh,
every now and then, a team has a bad season. Fluky things happen, snowballs, and you can't get out of it. Can't get out of your own way. It happened to be the team that I have my allegiance to. Last year was the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's cyclical. It'll happen again. Some team that you wouldn't think. Look what happened to the Atlanta Falcons. They took a dive too. So, and everybody thought they would be back in the playoffs. It happened.
I didn't.
It happened. So we'll see what happens. But I still say this. I still say Clowney is the first pick, and then you go after a solid quarterback that doesn't have to be a wow quarterback, and you probably can get a solid quarterback to do what you need to do in the second round. I'm talking about the Texans. I still believe that. I still think that they're going to do that because I don't think any of these quarterbacks are worthy of a first-round pick, especially in the top 10. No way. Anyway, let's move on. And where do we want to go now? Let's go this way. We got 14 minutes left in the show. And right now, hold on. Oh, God. Right now, Dayton is playing Stanford. And in the first game of the round of 16, or so-called the Sweet 16, and that happens to be in the South South bracket, where that, and that's played in FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. And right now, Dayton, number 11 Dayton, is beating number 10 Stanford 49-43. I'm going to go to Jeff first, then Victor, then Black, and Macau. Your thoughts? Dayton, Stanford, who comes out? It's just the beginning of the second half.
Well, I mean, Dayton has looked pretty good. I mean, beating Ohio State and Syracuse, but I think the clock might strike midnight for Cinderella. But you know what drives me nuts? Because I mean, you're saying they're playing in the Southern region, and I know it's difficult. I wish they could put these games closer to where the teams actually are from. You know what I mean? Because I remember one year when Seton Hall went to the Final Four, they were playing their games out on the West Coast. That stinks for the fans, you know? I mean, I know sometimes it's tough because, let's say, you know, when the Big East was ruling college basketball, there were just too many good teams in the East, and they had to move some to other regions. But it's like they don't even try anymore, you know?
Yep.
That would improve the tournament, I think, if they had more teams playing closer to where they're actually from.
Go ahead, Victor. Go ahead.
Okay. When Dayton pulled off the upset and beat Ohio State, I had mentioned that they were going to breeze by Syracuse. And it might not have been a breeze, but it did beat them. Dayton is a very, very dangerous team. They may not be big rebounders, big shot blockers, but those guys can shoot. Stanford, on the other hand, they have the big guys. And it's a close game right now. It's 54-45, and Stanford needs to let those guards do what they do and create. This game in particular, I actually think it's Lynn because they're going to go against Michigan State next, in my opinion, if this is the right bracket.
No, in the South bracket, if they win this, they'll go against the winner of the Florida-UCLA.
Oh, okay. So, and, yeah, I think either UCLA or Florida will beat either one of these teams. They're good. But I don't think I think their run is here as well.
Black.
Oh, Dayton, man, very well coached team. I think they get past Stanford here tonight. I'm Stanford. I'm making one of my players sick, and I'm handing the jersey off to Richard Sherman, who's in the building.
Okay, Macau, you with me? Hello, Macau. Going once. Going twice.
I think that Ron McQueen, his will, disconnected his phone.
All right, let's move over to the next game that's going to take place after this game, which would be the Florida-UCLA game, the 1-4 in the South. You know, just like Victor, you were talking about. Jeff, you were talking about make it closer to the region that you're from. That you're from. Well, I mean, you're practically handed the gateway to getting into the Final Four and even to the finals to Florida, because they're in the South. Their bracket looked like it was the weakest, in my opinion, and any of the challengers that you would thought would give Florida a run for their money have been eliminated already, and they have to deal with UCLA. Now, I'm not discounting UCLA, but I am, because I think Florida is going to beat UCLA without any issue, and then get to the Dayton-Stanford winner and eventually get to the Final Four. We'll go to the same sequence. I went with Jeff, then Victor, then Black, and hopefully Macau's back.
Oh, yeah, I'm back. I didn't know you came to me that fast. Jeff,
okay, it's all right.
Jeff and
go ahead, Jeff.
Went real fast.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you want me to comment on the
Florida UCLA. Next game after the Dayton Stanford.
Yeah, I think last week I went with an easy prediction for Florida to go to the Final Four, because I'll tell you, Florida's had a lot of success in recent years, and you know, when a team, when they make the Final Four, that helps their recruiting so much. It really increases the chance that they'll be back, and maybe not the next year, but 2-3 years later. So, Florida's ridiculous. They don't rebuild; they reload.
Victor?
And you guys can get on me all you want about the brackets like I did last week, but if you went to FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com last week, after last week's show, I told you I had some concerns. I picked some people in my brackets, and I was worried about them, and those are the teams either covered the spread or they won. This is another one of those games. I honestly think that if UCLA can pull off the upset, there's something about the Pac-12 this year. I don't know what it is, but I think it's something about the Pac-12. Florida, they come in, they play hard, but sometimes they have that letdown game. And I think this might be that letdown game. I'm going to pick UCLA in an upset. But, again, in my bracket, I'll pick Florida. But go to Fantasy Sports.
Oh, no, no, no.
And place your wagers.
Well, tell me why you think UCLA. What? Give me some reasons why you think UCLA is going to beat Florida.
Well, two things. UCLA runs and up and down the court very fast. They have very good perimeter shooters, and they can rebound the ball well. Maybe not as well as Florida, but Joakim Noah is not out there for Florida. You know, he's playing with Chicago right now. The Pac-12 teams have been playing very good the last month or so leading up to the tournament. They're in a conference, like you said, that's pretty much a cakewalk to the Final Four. I think UCLA or Florida will come out and be the representative, but UCLA, it's something about them this year. I think that Wooten magic is back this year. I'm not saying it's going to last, but I think that Wooten magic is there this year.
Black.
Okay, we've moved on from the waffle, man. I am going to roll.
Really? Really?
With the Capital Classic alum, my man Dorian Finney-Smith, who I had a chance to interview when he was in D.C. for the Capital Classic. The Virginia Tech transfer to South Florida. I got to pull for the Gators, man.
Okay. Macau.
Gators! Strictly off of the analysis of my cousin Victor. Thanks, Vic.
Really?
Well, the only two brackets that are playing are the Dayton and Stanford that are playing right now, and Florida and UCLA that are going to be playing a little later tonight, and another game that's going on. It just started early in the early in the second half, and Baylor, number 6 Baylor, is getting manhandled by 16 right now by Wisconsin, the number two Wisconsin, 34-18. Not to say that Baylor can't come back, but that's a lot to come back, and you got probably 17 minutes left in the game. Same sequence. I lost Black, but we'll go to Jeff.
I'm here.
Victor. Oh, no, you're here. I'm sorry. We'll go to Jeff, then Victor, then Black, and then McCalligan. Here we go. Baylor and Wisconsin.
I picked Wisconsin for the Final Four. That's a pretty safe, easy pick.
Victor?
Wisconsin, that young kid everybody doubts, the point guard. I think he's out to prove a point. And I think Baylor's run ends as well. Wisconsin takes this but loses. They lose the next game, AZ.
Okay. Go ahead, Black.
I think I picked Baylor, and it's looking bad for them, so I'm going to go ahead and lay down now.
Okay. McCall.
Yeah, I got Baylor on my bracket, too. I'm going to stick with them. Go down
okay.
with them.
All right. Well,
we're laying down right now, McCall. We're not going down. We're laying down right now.
Okay. All right. And last but not least in the West bracket, the last game of the night, last game to start of the night, would be number one Arizona in the West bracket against number four San Diego State. And one of my, I wouldn't say one of my favorite coaches, but I like this guy a lot who came from Michigan, and now he's coaching San Diego State, but they're going up against Arizona. Jeff, Arizona, San Diego State.
Yeah, I like Fisher too. He's one of these. A lot of these college coaches, I think, are very sleazy, but a lot of people, his former players, speak highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, I'm not. I don't remember who I picked for that. I don't know. I guess San Diego.
Oh, with the upset, Victor.
Nice.
San Diego versus AZ. I'm picking AZ.
Okay. Black?
What does your sheet say?
My sheet says AZ.
Oh, okay. I'll just check them off of mine.
But you can always go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, place your wages. Might be a close one.
Black?
Yeah, I'm not going to be Waffle Man tonight. I'm sticking with my boy Steve Fisher, pulling for San Diego State.
Oh, upset. Big upset.
Yes, sir.
Macau.
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with Black, you know, San Diego State.
Wow, okay. Well, we got about a minute left, and I'm going to go around the horn with you guys' closing remarks, and then we can get out of here, and I can go watch the rest of some of these games. I'm going to go McCall in reverse order. McCall, Black, Victor, Jeff.
I just want to say peace and blessings to everyone, and shout out to them kids up at Northwestern for doing what they needed to do and what should have been done at least 10, 15 years ago. And at the current model that we look at right now as the NCAA should fall. There's a couple of other suits that's going on against them, too. Catch y'all, well, I guess Saturday we talk about it. Talk about all
okay.
three of them.
Right.
Peace and blessings.
Black.
Miguel Cabrera, you know you got family in D.C., man. Don't forget about me, buddy. Fourth cousin on your father's side.
Victor.
He said Miguel Cabrera?
Miggy.
Victor.
Okay. I didn't know that. All right, here's what I got, guys. Two things. One, their CNBC has his show. I found it interesting that CNBC is now going to reality TV. It's called Money Talks. and it's about this he's not a bookie, but he's a wagerer, Steve Stevenson. And it's a great show. I checked it out. I encourage you to look at it, especially if you're into gambling or wagering. And see how Vegas actually does it, how some of these guys actually do it. Secondly, you guys are the best there is, the best there was, the best ever will be, so I appreciate you all for doing what you do for me and for yourselves as well as those that listen to the show. Lastly, on Saturday, yes, we will be talking about the unionization of college sports, what this ruling means, what a appeal may do if it's not overturned, and, you know, whatever else happened in the world of sports. You know, Knowshon Moreno just signed with the Dolphins. We'll talk about that. Where does that leave Maurice Jones-Drew? Out in the cold? I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Adding to what Vic said, I heard Maurice Jones-Drew is going to get traded to the Raiders, which would make sense because it looks like this offseason they're picking up a lot of guys on the downside of their career, which MJD, he's a young man, but he has a lot of mileage, and the shelf life for an NFL running back is not long. And I'd like to add to what Mikhail said about the players at Northwestern are pushing the unionize. I hope this kind of that pushes the NCAA for reform, because this whole thing with college sports unionizing could get very, very complicated. Northwestern is unique because they're a private school. A lot of the other schools are public. Then you got to deal with different laws in different states, et cetera, et cetera. I'll tell you, I take my hat off to the young men at Grambling this fall who sat out a game, and they weren't looking to unionize. They just wanted more sanitary and better conditions. And
right.
I think they were absolutely right. And to me, you know, with all these, they've had NFL teams with staph infections and whatnot. And, you know, I think Grambling, I think they had some budget problems. But, you know, you don't want any of these guys getting, you know, the staph infections or whatever, because that's real serious business. And, you know, they had mold all over the pads and whatnot. It was a real mess down there. So, you know, it's hopefully it'll get straightened out the right way. But it could get very complicated.
Yep. All right. Well, like I said, I appreciate you guys spending the time tonight. Tune in on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for where the FSP show. Mr. Vic Gardner's host. I'm going to be co-host of that show. We'll be talking about what's been going on. Some of the subjects we didn't cover tonight will be covered on Saturday. Hopefully tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As far as I know, we're going to have a live show until further notice. Just tune in anyway. Even if it's a repeat, tune in. It's always enjoyable listening to the No Chaser show, where I'd be the co-host and Mac be the host of that show. And on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be talking about fantasy baseball. I guarantee you this week we're talking about fantasy baseball, because the baseball season is right around the corner. And I have to talk to you, Mr. Gardner, off air. Either you call me or I call you after this show. I just received a trade proposal. Maybe you can counter it with something else. With that being said, thank you for listening to the show.
Mr. Master, was that some Rick James you had going Sunday?
Yes, it was.
Yes, it
was. I need that, man. I need that. Please text that to me.
Okay. No problem. All right. With that being said, I'm getting out of here. And you guys enjoy the rest of your week. And some of you I'll talk to you over the weekend. Then some of you I'll talk to you next week at this time. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah. Check. Woo. fantasy, sports, and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, log on.